Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to yet another ass-sweating episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most and also the most moist, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, Chris Logie, and Lee Lamb. Say hi, people.
Yep. Hi, people.
Full house today.
All right. Yes. Full house today. And we are currently right in the middle of asshole summer. Those of you who do not know what asshole summer is, it's basically the term we use for that point when technically summer is over and, you know, fall is supposed to come in, but summer gets drunk and breaks into your house and decides that he wants to stick around just a little bit longer before you finally kick him out.
Yeah.
So... yeah, so, yeah, we got some stuff to be talking about today. Of course, we're going to be talking about some political shit, mostly involving our current commander-in-chief and the weird little shenanigans he pulled at the UN. And, of course, there's the current healthcare bill. And, of course, we've got going to be talking about the Hurricane Maria, and a bunch of other shit, too, including a person who is, well, shitting and terrorizing everybody in a neighborhood in Colorado.
Okay.
Can we talk about the real shit with the president, about him uninviting Curry to come to the White House, even though
they all said,
fuck you, we're not going?
Yeah, we'll bring it up. But before we do all that, we got to start off. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I got a gift certificate for Audible, so I decided I was going to download After On. It's a novel of Silicon Valley, which is in the title. And it's basically about a social networking app that basically sucks in all of the world's data and becomes sentient. Yeah, imagine like Facebook, but really snarky and ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Flutter in a nutshell. The audiobook production, as I'm listening to, is actually top notch. It's got it's a full cast production, so it's got Patrick Rothfuss is in it, Tom Merritt is doing some narration, Felicia Day is doing narration, Leo Laporte's doing narration. It's a whole lot of, you know, very semi well known podcasters and stuff going on that are contributing to that book, and yeah, it's pretty good. I love the readings that John Hodgman does of the fake Amazon reviews, which are hilarious. It's interesting. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I am, but it's just written in such a wry style that I just instantly getting into it. So yeah, if you haven't had a chance to check that one out, it's called After On by Rob Reed. It's good stuff. So I've been listening to that, and my next Audible credit will probably be going to the next Peter F. Hamilton book that I haven't had a chance to catch up on yet, so that'll be that. Apart from that, you know, I've been watching some random TV, you know, been going through Mythbusters again, because that's pretty good. I think I talked last week that I finished season 24 of Top Gear, which was actually pretty good. So, yeah, I'm not going to mention that again, but, yeah, check that out. Listening to a lot of music. Downloaded, whatever. It's like, who buys CDs these days? But, well, technically I do. I got the new Prophets of Rage album, which is,
How is that?
It's pretty dope.
Yeah. I still haven't checked it out. I couldn't. Chuck D with Rage Against the Machine is a bananas ass idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's Chuck D like Rage Against the Machine and Be Real, so it's like mashing all those things together.
Oh,
like,
for real? I didn't know he was on it.
Oh, yep. Yeah, it's good stuff.
If you like that, you should check out Logic's album. He did a track on there with like Killer Mike, Chuck D, and a couple other people. I think Prophets of Rage is on that too.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll give that a look. Came out, I think, Friday, and yeah, listened to it cover to cover, and it's pretty much what you expect. They're kind of angry at the state of the world. as pretty much everybody on this podcast is at this point.
Yeah, the world is a raging trash fire right now. So.
Yeah. And one of the tracks on the album is called Unfuck the World, so...
Yep. It was also the first single, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was good stuff. And I've been playing some games here and there. NASCAR Heat 2, I'm just about wrapping up. It's, yeah, not bad. It's good where it counts, but really, really rough in other areas. Yeah, I'll go into the details of that in the written review, because I won't bore you, because it's NASCAR. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But apart from that, yeah, that's pretty much been it for me. Just
all right, Pat. Stuff.
Yeah, my job pretty much dominated my week, because I got moved up at work into a new position, and it was on a timetable that I was not anticipating, meaning I went down to HR on Tuesday to formalize the move and arrived on Wednesday to what I thought was just going to be continuing the previous day's work, only to be greeted with a message, yeah, we need to get you moved upstairs, like, right now. So they did that, and with that came a new schedule. That hour between 7 and 8 a.m. is a big hour.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is.
Yeah, so I was 8 to 5, now I'm 7 to 4. And I now understand, like, the joke has always been that there's only a Starbucks on every street corner in America. I now know why. Because let me tell you, I would not have gotten through this week without Starbucks. The service they provide is critical. Just to this country being able to function. Of this, I am certain. And so, yeah. If it hadn't been for Starbucks, I would have been completely screwed. But got way more sleep than I'm used to as well. And... yeah, hopefully this coming week I'll be better adjusted to everything. And
yeah, it usually takes about a week to get settled in another schedule. And hopefully that came with a raise as well. So
yeah, I'm just didn't see it coming this quickly.
But, the same thing happened to me when I stopped stripping. You'll get used to it, Pat.
Okay.
But yeah, that's been my week.
All right, Teresa?
Oh, she's apparently dealing with either a cat or... children.
No, she's not. She's trying not to cough in your ear. Oh. I have been recovering from the flu. Oh. So I sound like I smoke about 5 packs a day, but I don't. Although maybe I'd be in a better mood if I did sometimes. I have been bitching about asshole summer a lot. Because it feels like 4th of July in Chicagoland, and it really should not. Yeah. Not when it's completely dark at 7:30 at night. This is not that great. So screw you, summer. The trees are already with it. The geese and the ducks are with it. Come on. It's come on. Yeah. But other than that, we've been watching some TV. We're finishing up Star Trek Voyager still. I think we've only got maybe 14 episodes left. And we started The Orville, and tomorrow I will watch Discovery, even though it's on broadcast TV. Yuck. But I will stomach the commercials and watch it. Orville, I really recommend watching that. That's great. Seth MacFarlane did a great job with it. I went into it with no expectations or preconceived notions. So, you know, I know a lot of people were bitching about it, but I like it. I think it's hysterical. And then I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 quite a bit. I'm working on getting Whisper a Go-Go in the Yokai Watch event. So I'm trying to get every weapon. I only have 4. It's slow going. I'm getting really pissed off. This is what happened last year. I may not make it. I may not have the glowing Whisper mount. But, you know. Maybe I will. And then I moved in with some guy on Final Fantasy, and he totally took it in the wrong way. So that was drama. I guess. I don't know. So, yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That is a thing.
Neither did I. Is this like a weird roommate situation? How does this work exactly?
Well, I went to a wedding with my free company. I got an invite, went to the wedding, and I didn't even know it was happening. And it was beautiful. I posted some pictures online. And it was the first one that I had the opportunity to attend. And this guy was there. And, you know, I've seen him in the chat before, but I don't pay any attention. And he sent a friend request. I'm like, okay, great. He's like, you need any help with anything? Okay, that's fine. He's like, have you gotten a room in the free company estate? And I'm like, no, but I just got my 300,000 gills, so I'm probably going to do it. He's like, well, I'm building a house over here by the seaside. Why don't you just move in here so you don't have to spend the money on it? I'm like, all right, fine. And then it turned into this thing. And then... just no.
Was he trying to put it on you?
I think so. And he was being really weird in the chat a couple days later, and I don't know why everybody was on. It was like the middle of the day. I guess nobody had college or something. These are all weird age people. And we were joking around about something, and he's like, is 15 inches good or is 8 inches good? And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Are we going here? And then, you know, somebody was talking about the differences between men and women, and women have troubles. And I'm like, well, men have troubles too. Prostate. What is that? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is a kid.
Oh, he's one of those guys.
Yes, he probably also hits you up with women be shopping. Am I right? God. Women be shopping.
It was awful. He's 17, as it turns out. And he starts pulling this stuff with one of the higher ranking people in the free company, where he's like, I'll be your baby. You be my mama. Mama, come discipline me. I'm like, ah, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm so out of here.
Amazing.
So, yeah. Now I remember why Pat and I were playing on a Japanese server.
You know, I'm sure this happens in WoW, but I don't run into it.
It was just, I'm like, look, dude, I'm 42. I could be your grandma. Go away.
to the guy's credit, you didn't move in with him, Teresa. I mean, what were you
doing? It was roommates. It was so we could save money.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That happened, so whatever. I don't care.
That's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Next.
All right, Chris.
Okay. So, let's see. This week, the third season of Fuller House released, so I watched that all in one sitting, and it continues to be pretty good. They weirdly leave one storyline open the entire season. Leading up to Steve's wedding with a woman that's pretty much the same as DJ, but her name is CJ. And you're kind of just leading up to that wedding, and like at the very end of the season, it's just them on the plane going over to Japan where it's going to take place. So it's like, oh, there's going to be that whole chance of her renouncing her current boyfriend or whatever. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's weird how fast these are coming out, because the second season was in February, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Also, mostly finished up watching Rick and Morty. There's still a couple more episodes this season, but it definitely picked up as they started to focus more on serial storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got really crazy.
Yeah.
In some really fun ways.
Started doing callbacks and shit.
Yeah, and just kind of focusing on some of the weirder parts of their whole thing. Like the cross-universe dimensional stuff.
Yeah. Also, the whole episode where they went back to, what was it, Rick Landis?
I forget what that episode is.
The Council of Ricks. Yeah, it's That whole episode is one giant mindfuck.
Yeah, and the one with Unity is great. As the two kids, or at least Summer, sort of points out the taking away of the free will of these people sort of thing, and then you find out, oh, these people are all huge racists.
Yep.
Race war starts. And it's not typically a race war, but it's some of the people have target-style nipples, and the other people have pyramid-shaped nipples. And they go to race wars against
each other. Wait, what fucking show is this?
Rick and Morty.
Oh my god, alright. I thought you were still talking about Fuller House. I was like, that's a very different show than what I was watching.
Rick and Morty is like if Futurama was not as reserved.
Optimistic.
Reserved and optimistic about the various alien worlds that are out there. Rick and Morty's like, hey, what if they're just terrible people everywhere?
Yeah.
Doing crazy shit. I really like the one episode where Rick and Morty drop off Jerry at the Jerry Daycare Center. It's like all these Rick and Mortys have just dropped theirs off. It's like, oh, this guy just stowed away on our ship. We'll send him somewhere nice for the day. As well as the same thing with the Mortys in the Citadel, where they've lost their Rick. And so they form their own like weird gangs, stupid gangs, I guess. But yeah, that show got pretty good. And now I probably have to go get DVDs or Blu-rays or whatever just to have some easy access to that stuff.
Although I gotta say, Rick and Morty is a great show, but the fandom is just the worst.
It
really is.
Ignored most of it. That's sort of why I may never check out Adventure Time, because those people went way overboard, especially with the gifs and shit on Twitter and all that.
Are they nuts too? Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
I would see GIFs and people say, oh my glorp or whatever. And I was like, yeah, no. I own like one of the 3DS games that's supposed to be like a Zelda 2 clone. I was like, this is about as much as I need of that show. Yeah, as for games, I've been playing more Destiny 2. I beat the campaign, but there's still plenty more to do after that. I got some really interesting post-game stuff. I am almost ready for the raid. It's just lining up people to do it in our clan. So, but other than that, I've been having a lot of fun trying to get some of these exotic weapons. I got one that's a rocket launcher called the I forget what it's called, like Wayward Coil or something like that. It shoots multiple rockets, but it doesn't show a cursor when you're about to shoot. And it's huge, so it takes up half the screen. It's a pretty interesting weapon. But I also have a nice pistol that when you get the final shot on an enemy, he explodes. So it gets some damage to the nearby enemies, which is pretty nice. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to playing more of that. Somehow I'm still doing pretty well with the multiplayer. I've finished first on my team a number of times, and like having a kill death ratio of like 5.5, which is crazy. But I think it's more because I let my teammates go ahead of me and take the bullets, and I'm like, okay, there's guys there. But yeah, been playing more Metroid: Samus Returns. My issues with my 3DS I sort of fixed. I guess it's due to having some lint under the L button. But I can blow it out and it'll work like 60% of the time. But it's still not fixed, so I need to either get some canned air or something, because it introduced a second mechanic that uses that button. which is when you're in morph ball form, you hold down L to bring up like this, like spikes, so you can move up on the walls.
Okay.
Which, when you can't 100% rely on that working,
yeah,
it makes some parts of that game a little bit harder. Which is sort of the room where I'm at right now, where it's kind of maze-like.
Yeah.
And I've fallen off and have to restart my way across the room. But yeah, that's been pretty good so far. And it's kind of crazy that, the whole progression of that game is kind of built around, there's 40 Metroids here, you have, like 40 bosses, you have to take them all out. I think I'm at like 35 left, 34. But they've all been the same kind of so far. They dive at you. You either jump over it if they're like showing a lightning on them, and if they're not, you kind of do the melee attack, and you stun them and then just fire rockets at them. Which I have like 60 missiles right now, so I can just wail on them. Which is nice. I got SteamWorld Dig 2. Just came out on the Switch the other day. And that has been really good so far. They've done some nice stuff to change up a couple things about it, but mostly it's the same. But there's kind of a bit more of an overworld to it, rather than just, here's the town where you go buy your upgrades, and here are ways to get down in the mines. Seems like there's going to be a couple different mines, and there's some other stuff you can do outside as well. But yeah, so far it's been pretty good, and I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that. I also got that new update on the Xbox One, which changes up a good bit of, I don't want to say how it works, but that sort of mini menu is actually more useful now, and it's nice and fast, so that you shouldn't have to use the regular menus outside of a few small instances.
Yeah, and they changed the home screen completely, and they did a lot with.
I kind of wish you could pin stuff directly to that first page. Instead of it being a couple pages down.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you just only show like four things at a time on that main screen. It's like, you could fit more in there.
Yeah.
Of
course, you can press the Y button and like shrink the screen down to see it.
Yeah.
So there's that at least.
My issues with the downloads on that are still not fixed. So I know that that's not going to change with the Xbox One X. Yeah, so a game wanted about 10 gigs more free. It's a 27-gig game. Every time it gets an update, it needs to re-download the 27 gigs. Because it's in early access. It was at, I think it's 17 free, so it needed about another 10. It kept telling me like 80 kilobytes. So eventually I figured out what was actually trying to update. It's like, oh, here, I deleted this thing. It was like 40 gigs. And it's like, yep, we're good to go. It's like, fuck you. Can't even fucking fix this stupid download issue. And they have a nice, like, pause all button now.
Yeah.
You'd have to sit there and pause each one individually, which was terrible if you had, like, a game with a bunch of DLC. And sometimes that doesn't work. It's just like, we'll think about pausing it. And it's like, oh, it keeps going. I hit pause clearly.
Yeah.
I hit it again, and maybe it works again. It's one of those annoying things. They need to keep working on that stuff. So the download thing's been going on for at least a year or two now. So, yeah, that's not great. I play some more, play some of Forza 5 since that's free for this month for gold. And really pissed me off early on because it heavily tutorializes. And in that way, with not letting you do anything, just having a narrator explain to you what multiplayer is.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you guys were expecting a whole bunch of non-gaming people to buy this thing when it launched. So you're like, we'll just design this game all around that.
Hmm.
And if you knew what you're doing, you don't need any of this.
Yeah,
because it's not that different from the other forces.
Nope, but you have to sit there and listen to it anyway.
Yeah, especially when you don't hit the "don't tell me this again" thing and go back into it.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, here's what these, you know, liveries are. How you make them all, and it's like, I don't give a shit. Fuck you. Mm. The racing is pretty interesting, as they basically found a way to make offline racing feel like online racing, where everybody just crashes into each other.
Yep.
Which is just how I have just changed how I play. So if I'm like this, if I'm second place, and there's the first, I'm just gonna ram into him into a turn and knock him out, and that's how I win. Some of these races, like, yeah, okay.
That's pretty much how that works.
Yeah. It's like, screw trying to race normally. Especially when this guy is ahead enough that I'm not easily going to get very many chances to overtake him.
Hmm.
It's like, no, I'm just going to spin you out because there's no penalties. The only weird penalties I see is, like, if you go into the grass for too long, you suddenly stop being able to drive in it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's grass.
Yeah, it just
cars
it
aren't
stops your car.
Yeah, it's like this isn't like sand or gravel or something like that.
Mm.
But yeah, I did find some. There's like one achievement for liking somebody's designs, and I haven't figured out how to do that. I don't know if they removed it or something. But I could not figure out how to do that.
Yeah, you actually have to go into somebody's store page to do it. You can't do it from just selecting the delivery.
Yeah, it's the same way in Horizon 3. It's still, they never changed any of that.
Yeah, because I try to find some sort of like general page for each people, and it just shows their Xbox Live profile for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's buried in there.
I need to look up that, see what solutions True Achievements has for that.
Hmm.
But yeah, also just got the Minecraft, whatever, together update thing.
Hmm.
I thought it was supposed to be an update, but it's actually a separate game. That's not what they said at all at E3. But yeah, it's a separate game, all new achievements, though it's mostly the same list.
Yeah.
And it has the Minecraft coins attached to it. So now you have to buy these special coins to be able to buy.
Yay, Microsoft coins.
Yay.
Though they're weirdly, worsely priced than that. It's like 320 coins for $2, 1,020 coins for $6, then like up to like 3,500 for $20. Then everything else is priced like 990 points. Like, what? What crazy people are pricing these things? And some of it seems to be user-made, because it's not everything is by Minecraft.
Yeah, there's the user-created marketplaces going in there. Right now it's curated, but they're going to open that up eventually.
Yeah, that was all crazy. It's like, I'm not going to buy any of this.
Hmm.
I just... Mm. Found out whatever items I had from the previous game and just got that and got out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I look forward to getting some more easy achievements there. And I guess they let you bring over your previous worlds, which is nice. Though I've heard some people having issues with it just messing up parts of the world, which is not great.
No.
For how much time some of these people have put into it. You need that to come over perfectly, or else you're going to get shit on pretty fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been interesting to see. Doing some more YouTube stuff. The free game I featured this week was Fallout Shelter on Xbox One, which is still pretty good. They were doing some special celebrations for reaching 100 million downloads. And giving out free loot crates and some other stuff. And so I logged on the Xbox One version to check that out. So I have the same control issues, but the rest of it's pretty okay. And the anniversary I celebrated was Katamari Damacy turning 13.
Yeah, holy crap, now I feel old.
That game was...
I bought that game when it was a new release, man.
Yeah, that game kind of changed a lot of stuff for publishers. Sort of showed that we will buy crazy Japanese games.
Yeah.
And we will buy games that are cheap, that are good.
Hmm.
Not like the late PS1 games that were $10 but were pure shit.
Yeah.
And the best part is that game still holds up.
Yeah, it's like real good.
Like, because it's so stylized, it's really not aged a day.
Yeah, and like the newer games are just that, but better, you know, visual quality.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like the same kind of simplistic models and
plus the art. It's the dude's art style. Yeah. So.
And the music. I mean, the music adds a lot to it too.
Oh yeah. That
too. I was glad I didn't get any YouTube shenanigans over the music. Because if I had to mute that, that would have been the worst version of that video.
Oh, yeah.
Because can't show Katamari without the music, or else it's not Katamari.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah,
I mean,
that was...
literally all of the fucking lyrics to every single one of those songs is about Katamari Damacy. There is... Yeah. They are in it.
They don't say any more words, really, than Katamari Damacy.
Yeah.
It's just all... syllables and Katamari Damacy.
Unless, you know, at the end of the game when they break into that, you know, full on, you know, Oscar bait power ballad.
Yeah.
With the
But yeah, I just love the story premise of that, where the king of all cosmos gets drunk one night and just destroys all the stars.
Yep, he just goes on a bender.
And now he puts the onus of fixing that on his son.
Yeah.
Like, you go fix it, and if you fail a level, he just shits on you worse than treats you like the worst person in the entire universe.
Yeah.
It's real good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a shame we don't get more of that. But yeah, that's been pretty much it.
I've been dealing with the tumor we found in my dog's tail, which has been fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Work bullshit. I backed up, not bullshit, nothing really bad, but one of my guys was called up to the National Guard. And so I've been backing him up for about 2.5 weeks while Irma, you know, ran through Florida like a drunken infant. And so he just got back, so I was just getting him up to speed and sort of dealing with that stuff and just, you know, general life garbage. I'm so tired. I can't even explain.
So speaking of Irma, what was the damage like in Atlanta?
We didn't get much. There was like on the south side of the city. There was a lot like, you know, trees and, you know, because that the big problem here. And of course, Brandon, you know this is when it rains here, it doesn't really rain very long. And so what happens is that when we have a consistent downpour here and the ground gets super soft. And the wind starts blowing, trees start fucking flying out of the ground.
Yep.
And so that's what happened, you know, pretty much on the entire south side of the city. We had some trees go down, and I think we lost power for like 15 minutes. We got super, super lucky where I'm at. And I live on a hill, so we didn't have to deal with any flooding. Like, I live on the top of the hill. Like, my house looks like it owns the neighborhood. It's really fucked up. It feels almost pretentious in a way, because that's not the kind of person I am. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm so thankful I'm on top of this motherfucking hill, y'all.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're just doing that. And as far as games, I've been trying to get through Mass Effect 3. I don't know how far away I am from the ending, but I've just been, instead of rushing it, I've just been kind of taking my time and really starting to enjoy it. I never finished it when it came out because of, at the time, you know, there was all those people getting mad about the ending, and then BioWare saying they were doing a patch, and there was so much stuff that I was playing at the time, I just didn't go back to it. And so, you know, I've been going through some old games on BC on the Xbox, and I was like, you know, I really would like to play Mass Effect. And I think I talked about this on the Day Zero update. Part of the reason was is when they said, you know, Andromeda was done, I was like, well, I really should finish 3, you know, and kind of see see where that is, and then move on to Andromeda, because that is a problem where I will not play a sequel until I've played the, the game before it or something. I don't know what my deal with that is, but so I did that. Like, I got Metroid, but I haven't played it because I haven't any time. And yeah, I haven't been really doing shit except working. So nothing remotely as interesting as Teresa shacking up with some dude.
You hot.
Hey now, that was completely taken out of context by him.
Yeah. All right.
She said context in air quotes.
All right. My turn. So my pretty much my entire gaming for this week has been ES8. So I'm now at the point where, you know what, I don't really know if I can describe it that well if you haven't played the game up to this point. It's still just a ton of fun, but like my party now has grown up to like 6 people, which is 5 more people than you usually play in an East game. I've also, that game's fun, but I've gotten pretty far into it now. I think I'm close to the home stretch. It's a lot of fun, and I really do recommend it. And I'm glad it's getting good reviews and good publicity, because that series deserves it. You know, it's like the king of the action RPGs.
Yes.
And of course, the freaking music is amazing. Cool thing about getting the if you can get a hard edition, it comes with the soundtrack. So, and trust me, you'll want it, because the soundtrack to this game is freaking amazing. So, yeah, that's pretty much been my gaming for this week. I'm also, of course, I do still read a lot. And as far as reading goes, so I had some friends who had basically been bugging me for a while now to read these this series of kids' books called The Land of Stories. Now, for those of you who don't know, I am over 30 years old, but I do love kids' books. And because I'm not, just because, just you get to that point in your life when shit hits the fan and you kind of need something to decompress. And children's books do it for me. But the thing is, the reason I was really skeptical about these books is that they're written by Chris Colfer. Now, does anybody know who Chris Colfer is? He's the guy who played Kurt on Glee. So that's the reason I was sort of skeptical, because, celebrities occasionally will get a publishing deal and they'll try to be a novelist, and usually it sucks. I can say without any, just in, without any, just, I can just say this, it's good. Like, it's really, really good. It takes probably like one of the most cliche, premises in modern children's literature, whereas, two kids find a magic storybook and fall into the world of fairy tales where, and it's like, and somehow he manages to take it and turn it into something and not only really earnest and heartfelt, but also can be really funny at the same time. So like the basic premise is that these two kids, brother and a sister, are currently dealing with the fact that, about a year ago, their dad sadly passed away in a car accident. And so because of that, they've sort of been struggling for the past few months, having to move out of their old house and into a smaller one, their mother having to take triple shifts to pay the bills. And then one day during around the their twins' 12th birthday, their grandmother comes over, and she has this what they call the Land of Stories, which was this book, big book of classic fairy tales. And so, you know, they give that they end up getting that from their grandmother as a birthday present, amongst other stuff. That isn't the only thing she gives them, because that would be kind of suck. But during the night, the sister finds out that the book is glowing, and so first off, she thinks she's completely insane, and so does her brother when she first brings it up. And then by happenstance, they manage to fall into it. And the way that he does some really neat world building here, because basically the idea is that by the time they get into the Land of Stories, all of the sort of famous fairy tale stories that we know have already progressed. So like all of these are all of the characters after the happily ever after stuff has happened. So like, for example, when they first, like the prologue is literally about Snow White visiting her evil stepmother in prison. And she's basically, what happens because the stepmother is basically been deposed, she's now the queen of her particular kingdom. And Snow White is going through some serious PTSD shit because of the shit that she went through. And she's basically trying to figure out why exactly her evil stepmother was such an awful cunt. Also, there's, you know, Cinderella is married to Prince Charming, and they're now king and queen of their little kingdom. Red Riding Hood is actually the kingdom of what the queen of an area that's basically like the nursery rhyme kingdom, and she is, can we say, not the brightest human being on the planet, which I remember they made her out like a blonde airhead, you know, self-absorbed valley girl type, and I'm like, why are they so harsh to Red Riding Hood? And then I remembered, oh, well, considering she thought a wolf in drag was her grandmother, she couldn't be a terribly bright human being to begin with. Valid. So, huh?
Valid.
Yeah. And so there's like this subplot about them trying to get back by having to go and collect like these things for what they call the wishing spell, and it's just, it's really good, and the ending actually made me tear up a little bit, because it's really heartfelt, and I already put in the order for book number 2 from Barnes & Noble, so, yeah, it's really that good. I'm sorry I doubted Chris Colfer, because he is a really good writer. So, really other than that, basically dealing with Asshole Summer.
Yep, everybody else.
Yeah, and of course it got up into the low 90s today, and I had to go take the trash to the dump. And as I've mentioned before on this podcast, we don't have a garbage service here. So I basically have to take all of the past couple of weeks' garbage, load it up onto a trailer, to my dad's truck, drive it out to the dump, and empty it all out by hand. And that shit is heavy, too. You'd be amazed how much garbage a family of three can produce in just a couple short weeks. So, yeah, that's pretty much been my week. Does anybody have anything else they want to add before we move on?
Nope, I'm good.
Not really.
Okay. Well, it's now once again time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, Napoleon Bonaparte once said that an army marches on its stomach. And, I'm not sure how many of you folks have ever had any family or friends that have been in the army before, but it's very true. And the quality of the type of rations that a soldier will get on the field is a pretty good determination of how well they will actually do. For the record, how many have any of you ever actually had an MRE before?
I have.
Like an an actual military MRE. Was it like a regular? What was it MRE for? Was it for like a soldiers or Marines or something like that?
Yeah, Marines.
No, yeah. The one that I had was what they gave out to people at after Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. For the record, the ones they give out to the Army aren't that bad. But, of course, if you're one of those, like, organic-type people, oh, you will run for the hills screaming from that shit. Because it's basically all stuff in bags. That's dehydrated, and you have to add water to. But the thing is, if you've ever looked back through history, the type of stuff that soldiers had to eat out in the field was not... It wasn't always of good quality. Like, for example, way back in the early days of this cast, I talked about what the ancient Spartans used to eat out when they were in the field, which was the infamous black soup, which, for those of you who don't remember, that was a soup made of pork, vinegar, salt, and pig's blood. Yep.
That's crazy. That's what I had for dinner.
I would make fun, but that's basically what a hot dog is. Just in liquid form. But today, this time, I'm going to show you the type of stuff that what basically made up much of the diet for regular soldiers and sailors during the 18th and early 19th century. You may have heard of it before, but you may have never seen it. And lucky for you, you've probably not have tasted it either. I give to you what was, for the longest time, the basic ration for every soldier and sailor in the Western world. Hardtack. Yeah, that one in that picture, that is a Civil War era ration from 1862 that they have preserved in a museum in Atlanta. And,
It looks like a McDonald's bun.
It does.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Let the spread.
Yeah, so...
Like, a really, really bad lembas bread.
Yeah.
This, the hardtack, or they had several names for the stuff. They called it pilot bread, cabin bread, sea biscuit, ship's biscuit, sometimes they called it dog biscuit. They also called it names like sheet iron crackers, worm castles, weevil mansions. Because if you look closely at that picture, you notice all those little cracked pinholes in them? Yeah, that isn't from age. Those are from worms.
That's nasty.
Yeah. And for the longest time, this was part of the basic ration for every soldier and sailor in the world. It was basically made of literally just flour and water and sometimes salt. It was
just like a McDonald's bun.
Yeah, basically. It was basically they put them in these ovens and baked them until they were literally as hard as a rock. Hence the name hardtack. Basically, in order to eat this stuff, you had to, for lack of a better word, chisel pieces off of it and dip it in water or coffee to make it edible. And this stuff is pretty much the reason why back in the age of sail, scurvy was such a major problem, because back then, sailors pretty much had nothing to eat but this for weeks on end. It didn't really stop becoming a problem until they started adding stuff to the rations, like, you know, lemons or sauerkraut, you know, stuff that was acidic and could be preserved. Now that what I showed, that picture is basically what they would look like during the Civil War era. If you were doing sort of like the Age of Sail, it would have looked more like this, I know it probably looks like the same picture, but you got to click on it. It's more rounder and thicker, actually. It's not pretty. Now, you're probably wondering, Brandon, does this stuff still exist? Could I go to the store and buy it? Well, yes, actually, you can. There is a company called Interbake Foods in Richmond, Virginia, who sells hardtack out in supermarkets under the name of Sailor Boy Pilot Bread. And if you're wondering why the hell would I want to get this, New England clam chowder, because that's what they used to use, what they used to put into the clam chowder before things like crackers were more readily available, was this shit. They would use it as a thickener. Yeah.
Man, I don't know why they would go ruin chowder with that.
You guys are mispronouncing chowder.
Chowder. Yeah,
totally are. And remember, it's not Manhattan clam chowder, it's New England clam chowder.
Go Sawks.
Yeah. It was pretty much it. Like I said, this was pretty much all that they had to eat for, you know, for weeks on end. And part of the reason is because it was very, very long lasting. In fact, it was damn near immortal. That first picture I showed you, even though that stuff has been preserved, it's also still 100% edible.
Shit.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, you could break open the display case, dip that in some coffee, and it'd still be
in air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you really wanted to, you could break open the display case, take that shit out, put it in some coffee, and you could still eat it.
Yeah. I mean, this is all suspect. This is definitely air quote territory, like Teresa moving in with that guy.
Yeah.
Well, if you're too lazy to go and look for it at your local store, you can also have it delivered from Amazon.
Yeah.
I bet you it doesn't even need a box with the way he's describing it. They probably just toss it at your door.
Yeah. Now, as for the, for those of you who don't know, although it's still comes in that form, there's also a bunch of other forms. Probably the most famous regular form is oyster crackers, because that's basically what oyster crackers are. They're pilot bread and itty bitty little pieces.
Shit, I love oyster crackers.
Yeah, blasphemy! That stuff is awesome.
Well, that's what it is.
Your chowder.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's hardtack in little pieces. Literally the same recipe and and way of preserving it. And in fact, also late into the 20th century, both the Japanese Self-Defense Force and the military of South Korea still had these types of hardtack as their standard rations, except they were in what's known as the Kanpan version, which were came in forms like this, which is the Marine Self-Defense Force used. They're slightly smaller and puffier. And they also, the regular ground self-defense force had ones that were larger. But yeah, so if you were a soldier in the 18th century, this was pretty much of your rations was made up of. Aren't you glad you didn't live during that time?
Well, yeah, for numerous reasons. I don't think it's really just that, though.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Crunch.
Yep, crunch.
It's not. I got these crackers, man.
Yeah. All right, it's now time for the show proper, and we're getting it started with our assholes of the week. And we had a couple of candidates this week. The primary is the Senate GOP's Graham Cassidy health care bill, which, before you get worried, it's probably dead in the water because John McCain announced basically earlier today that he's not voting for it.
It's amazing what having brain cancer will do to you when it comes to health care.
He literally followed the same pattern, too, like he did the first time. He approved of it going to a vote, and then he said, fuck it. I'm voting no. So
he didn't wait till the last minute.
Yeah. I'm starting to think he's trying to send a message here.
Well, I've gotten the impression from just reading, I read a good deal during the day between the Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, stuff like that, and the general consensus seems to be that a big part of him doing what he's been doing is he feels like that over the last 8 years in particular, that the Senate and the House have basically ground to a halt, and they don't actually know how to work together anymore. And so supposedly that's part of the reason why he has the stance that he does. But I it's very difficult for me to believe it, and I don't like to paint with such a large brush, but I have over the years, and Brandon, I know you are uniquely familiar with this because of where we live. It is, you know, being surrounded by Republicans, the one thing that you really come to realize is that Republicans don't care about shit until it happens to them. So
100%.
So like you can look at Dick Cheney. Look at the way the Republicans were towards gay marriage. A lot of them didn't care about gay marriage until their family members started coming out for it. Part of me feels like, and it feels cynical to say this, but part of me feels like the reason that John McCain cares about healthcare now is because he's got brain cancer. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys are completely incapable of understanding what their fellow man is going through until
there is one other factor you need to put in here, and that is John McCain's absolute blood hatred for Donald Trump.
And, you know, I do think a lot of it comes back to, though, like, these guys really don't care about this stuff until it affects them. You know, Jeb Bush was okay with immigration, so was the Bush family, because, you know, they're married. Jeb Bush is married to a Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of stuff. You won't hear this stuff come up until they have it affect someone personally. And so it's again, it sounds cynical, but I sort of feel like that's part of the reason why McCain cares is because – you know, he's got brain cancer, and you start.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, it's not just Republicans; it's the right in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's the libertarians, it's the Christian conservatives, it's those alt-right douchebags. It's
I would argue libertarians are just selfish Republicans
who want to smoke weed.
Like, yeah, more selfish Republicans.
Selfisher. But basically. Yeah, it's such a mature ideology, isn't it? Yeah. Fuck you, I've got mine. That's like,
is it?
Yeah, but but basically, even though the legislation is basically dead in the water, more or less, it was pretty much the worst yet that they had produced at this point. Like somehow they managed to. You know, complete, like, if there was any lesson they wanted to learn, which I don't think there any was, because their agenda here is very clear. They want to take away all of the entitlements and, you know, let the poor starve in the street.
I think the other thing, too, that's really important to when we frame this issue in general, too, is one of the most important things about this, and the reason why there's so much pushback on it now, is that the only reason that these guys – well, there's two reasons they want to repeal Obamacare. The first is, of course, because it has Obama's name on it. The second is because rich people's taxes are paying for Obamacare. And these guys would rather have poor people die in the street than have Obamacare actually work. And I think that the general consensus that you're seeing now is that a bunch of people are like, so wait a minute. Like, because you hear the rhetoric, people are like, yo, people are going to die over this. And I have a personal attachment to it because my mother is on Obamacare, and she would be dead if it wasn't for the fact that the insurance companies couldn't kick her off. And we live in fucking Georgia. It's not like there's a wealth of fucking options for her out here.
Look, the Affordable Care Act is the reason I was able to stay on my mother's health care plan until I was in my mid-20s. So.
It is the brazenness of this, I think, is the most, because I don't really know what my age is in relation to the rest of you guys. I know like Pat and me are very similar in age. I'm pretty sure me and Phil are. I know I'm a little bit younger than Teresa, but I cannot think of a time where I've seen them be so. I guess the best way to describe it is to be sort of like made in their voters' image. Mm-hmm. You know, like look at the dumb shit that Trump pulls and everything else like that, and then him acting like a fucking man baby. That's because the majority of the voters for this group are the same thing. That's why they're happy with him antagonizing Kim Jong-un and everything else like that. Like, these are how these troglodytes think. And
yeah,
it's what kills me about it the most, though, is, and Brandon, you and I can obviously relate to this because we're in a red state, is that the people this is going to hurt are the same people that live in our states that need this kind of help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God damn. I know that, man.
I don't know what kind of weird fucking Stockholm syndrome is going on where people are so against, having
the idea of socialized medicine.
Well, they just, you know, what we're seeing here, especially with the sort of this horrible need of theirs to try and reverse Obamacare, that I think the biggest thing that's important when we look at it is that these guys ran for 8 years on the fact that they were going to repeal Obamacare. And yeah, they have I think the craziest part when you look at the entire situation politically in America is that these guys control the government. They have the House, they have the Senate, they have the presidency, and they can't get anything passed. And so
keep in mind, they have the majority in
everything that they need to.
Yeah, and they still can't fucking do it.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that's really crazy about this. And I think that to go to the original point, I think that's one of the reason that McCain is doing what he's doing is that I think he truly is thinking that, holy shit, like, we literally cannot get anything done. Like, they have, they've had the presidency for 9 months. What have they gotten done? They haven't gotten shit. And no. That there's a major dysfunction. These guys aren't a governing group. They're not a governing body. They are a group that has only been able to be the opposition. And now they're being told to lead, and they can't fucking do it.
Yeah, and it gets worse, too, because our other part of the assholes of the week, it's not just that this healthcare bill is such utter shit that anybody who read it would not vote for it if they actually had a conscience. But they've actually tried to bribe various opposition Republicans by saying that if this goes through, we will let your state keep ACA while, you know, all the other states have to suffer.
Which is an amazing thing.
Like, they literally – it's basically blackmail. They basically went over to Lisa Murkowski, who, for those who know, she's a – senator from Alaska.
She was one of the key no votes last time.
Yeah, and they said, look, if you'll vote for this legislation, we'll make sure that it doesn't affect your state.
And like, they had a draft with three provisions benefiting Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah.
They're saying Alaska will continue to receive Obamacare's premium tax credits while they were appealed for all other states.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It shows their own weakness in this in general, is that they are the only reason that they're even having – the only reason they're even doing this rhetoric right now is because they've run on this for 8 years. And to that Murkowski point, that was – when I read that, I fucking laughed my ass off. So it's like Obamacare is so awful – but we're going to keep it for Lisa. We're going to throw out the rule book for her. You know,
that's like the notion that she is supposed to throw the rest of the country under the bus.
Yeah.
For her own benefit.
Because her constituents don't have relatives in every other state, you know?
They're
only all in Alaska. And they're rewarding her with what they're trying to take away.
Yeah.
It's like, why doesn't every other governor pull the same shit to get their state exempt, and then we'll just be in the fucking same thing where he passed somehow pass a bill of repeals that they're letting everybody
consume. Yeah, and the rhetoric, particularly the rhetoric of the president, is crazy. Like, I think that's the other part of this that's so funny when we look at what's happening in the country is that, you know, you had Trump sit here and throw a kegger on the front lawn of the fucking of the White House. And then he came out against the bill and said, this is an awful – the one that they tried to pass previously, this is an awful bill and it's going to hurt people. Said, and it's like, Donnie, you're out of your fucking element here.
Yeah.
He's been saying, let's just repeal it or let's just let it fall apart. It's like, These are people's lives.
That's the worst part about it, Chris, is by him saying that. Like, I work with health insurance companies as part of my job. And with him saying that he is going to let Obamacare fail and everything, the fact that he sat there and he's promised people over and over and over again that their rates are going to go down and they're going to have great coverage, healthcare is a market. Right. And so what happens is the biggest thing when you look at anything financially that markets care about is stability. And so when you insert instability into those markets, then what happens is the shit gets shaky and prices go up. Every time this guy threatens to pull out of the markets or they pull some crazy shit with healthcare, they're actually driving the costs up for the average American. And it happens consistently. And I think, like, Obamacare has a lot of problems. Like, I've seen it just firsthand having to work with the stuff with my mom. But I think that one of the things that happens with Democrats especially is – and I think particularly with the Bernie bros that are now in the party is that they have confused perfect with good in that everything has to be perfect or we can't fucking do it. And that's not how politics or change or anything else works. And so when you look at – like, say, for instance, the Republicans who are sitting there saying it's going to be great, you're going to lower your fucking health care, everything is going to be fucking awesome, and they keep introducing bills that are the exact opposite of that. You know, people are eventually, number one, they're catching on. But the other thing, too, is that – and I hope particularly that the media – the television media really picks up on this, is that by them waffling on this, by them not having a plan except throw everything against the wall, they are raising health costs for the average consumer. And those health costs will not go back down.
No.
And so by them continuing to do this, they are hurting their own constituents with a political agenda and they have no reason to do it. Because if the goal of Obamacare was truly to repeal it because they had a better system in place, number one, they haven't suggested it. And number two, what they're doing by suggesting the repeal and going through all of this just bullshit political posturing is they are doing the exact opposite of what they said they want to do, which is lower the costs for everybody. They're raising it for everyone, and they're giving health insurance companies an excuse to do so.
Yeah, yeah. It's the weird thing where this is not what their constituents want, but their constituents keep voting for them anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, and you're not getting the thing you want. Right. Why are you voting for them?
Well, you know what it is, and Brandon, I'm sure, can also vouch for this. There are, frankly, just blocks of people in this country that have been influenced by Fox News and the media and everything else like that, that would literally rather cut off their own dicks than vote for a Democrat.
Yeah, like, it's true. We essentially turn it into sports.
It's not. I don't even think it's a sports thing. I think it's – because that used to be an analogy that I used. If anything, what I would compare it to now is – When you look at the way that they deal with the posturing politically, is that, like, take Hillary Clinton, for example, who was a very flawed candidate, but would have been was immensely qualified to be president. For the last 25 years, the news has run roughshod over her. The right wing media, let's rephrase that, has run roughshod over her and her husband, and they did the same thing to Obama, but they literally have made Democrats into the Legion of Doom. Like, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, anybody that you can associate with Democrats and the whole Democrat agenda and the government doesn't work and all this stuff, the right-wing media has made those people out literally to be supervillains. And when you put it on, like, when you kind of scale that back, like, imagine, like, would you ever in the million years try to negotiate with the Joker?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's the same kind of thing, and it is, it's almost like indoctrination, like, where I live to a certain
extent. No, it is indoctrination.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. That's what it is by design.
Yeah, and those people, no matter what, even if a Democrat came out and fucking said, we will pay your mortgage every month, and we'll give you $1,000 extra a month, and you'll get a blowjob one day a week. One day a week, every day, 5 days straight, people would still not do it because it was coming from a Democrat. Like, that's sort of the other fallacy, or the other problem, rather, with Democrats now trying to go back and court, like, the white male vote. Like, these guys, the people that they want to come over to their side would never do it anyway. And I can't believe they don't see that. And, but that's, you know, when we talk about these people voting against their own self-interest, it's because they, at that point, they don't care about their self-interest. They just would never vote for a Democrat because for the last 25 years, you know, these people have been told that the Democrats are evil. And that's mm-hmm. what they believe. It's why you have people believe that Hillary Clinton was having children, a child sex ring run out of a pizza shop. Remember yeah, they said
they didn't have a basement.
That place doesn't even fucking have a basement.
Exactly.
Like, mm-hmm. but when you spend that much time telling people that someone is evil over and over and over again, and they grow up with that and that's their reality, they'll believe anything. I mean, yeah. it truly is brainwashing, and that's. I think that has led to a huge amount of our political gridlock. And you copy yeah. gerrymandering and everything else of that. I don't see it getting much better. Trump is sort of like the pimple coming to a head, in essence. Like, he is yeah. end game. He happened because of the stuff that they've done over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's scary. And I think he's on track to do irreparable damage. The only good thing is that they can't seem to get their shit together to actually do that damage.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, the rhetoric and, you know, the demonization of the other, we've got our other major asshole of the week, Ann Coulter. We haven't heard from her in a while, have we?
I have to say the name, and it's like, not okay, long enough. We can move on. We know.
Yes.
Wrote a book called Trust, and now she hates the guy.
Yeah.
Which makes me happy. Anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
So Brandon. Here's the thing. She's basically turned sour on Trump, since it seems Trump is kind of flip-flopping on the immigration issue. It appears that the DACA stuff probably may not go through now. So she's basically went on Todd Starnes' radio show, which is a Fox News-owned channel, and she said, you know, voters have spoken loud and clear. We don't want more immigration. Stop dumping the third world on us. And I'm thinking, Ann Coulter, you stupid cunt. But then yeah, she exactly. probably – here's the thing you need to know about Ann Coulter. She was basically Milo before there was Milo.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
She's a professional troll. She intentionally says awful shit in order to promote whatever, because I'm betting she's got another book coming out soon, and that's why this is happening. And of course, her publisher is going to help inflate. And of course, her publisher is going to artificially inflate the sales numbers by buying them up in bulk. Because if you ever wondered why people like Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh somehow managed to become number one on the New York Times bestseller list, it's not because people are actually out there buying them. It's because their publishers have organizations that buy the shit up in bulk.
Did you see the thing that happened with Hillary's book? They were these people that wanted to mess with the I think it was the Amazon's thing.
Uh-huh.
Were planning to buy Donald Trump's book to get it at least higher than Hillary's, if not hit number one. And yeah. the problem is, like, half the people bought the wrong book. So they basically halved their sales on whichever book. And if they bought multiples, they just wasted their money for nothing. And
yep.
her book obviously hit number one, and they have a bunch of copies of a book they didn't want.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Every time Ann Coulter does these shenanigans, I keep thinking, when's the point when everyone's going to finally say enough? Where she finally – there is a line that she's finally stepped over, and everybody has agreed that – she has literally gone too far. This might be the one, and I'm saying that optimistically because this shit's happened before. She, during that radio cast I was talking about, she offered a couple of different suggestions on how to deal with the immigration issue, one of which was, and I'm not shitting here, this is not rhetorical, she used these phrases. In fact, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to quote it. You want to hear this shit? You want to hear this shit? You don't want to hear this shit, but here's this shit. She said, let's see. She says, if he continues down this path, well, I guess there are three options. There's the organizing the death squads for the people who ruined America because there will be no more hope.
You mean it's like the same death squads that are going to kill people with Obamacare, or are these people actually going to have guns?
Death squads. Like, you know how like
sounds
back
like what
down,
Duterte
back,
does.
Yeah, you remember how back in the 80s in Latin America, whenever the Banana Republics thought the people were getting too uppity, they'd send out roving bands of murderous thugs to just kill people en masse? That's basically what she's suggesting here.
Yeah.
Mass murder. Vigilante, you know, mass murder.
I think the thing that scares me about those kinds of people is this incredible lack of context for anything. Like, and I do think, and I hate to be the person that talks about this, because I do think it happens on both sides, but because I saw something the other day, like, where people were agreeing with Kim Jong-un, and, like, well, yeah, he fucking told, he sure as shit told Nani. Well, yeah, but Kim Jong-un also, like, straps people to cannons and then shoots those cannons. Like, there is
a difference. Well, in fairness to Kim Jong-un, he is going up against Donald Trump. And you could be fucking Dr. Doom. If you go up against Donald Trump as he is now, you kind of automatically become the protagonist in your own story.
Yeah, I know, but at the same time, I think that context is also relevant in the same
way. I know, because
But the reason I'm saying that is, like, for the same thing that you're talking about here, like Ann Coulter and people that like Ann Coulter have obviously lost the fucking plot if they think that, well, because we didn't get our way, you know, we should – I mean, and we saw the same thing with Sarah Palin and all those people. I mean, these guys are just – they are trying to appeal to the lowest common denominator that feels like this country was stolen out from underneath them. And the craziest part is that the people that stole the country out beneath them were the same people that they voted for. The same people that allowed their jobs to get offshored and everything else like that. I mean, I don't get the chance to listen to this show that often, but I'm sure you guys have talked, you know, in the past about globalization. I'm sure you've talked about how the coal industry only employs, I think, something like 186,000 people.
Yep.
And, you know, but there, you know, Trump was making it sound like he was keeping like 9 million people in jobs. You know, like, and that's the thing, like, that's sort of the cruel joke of all of this, is that these people that they demonize, the immigrants and things like that, and the dreamers and all of this stuff, these guys are educated, they don't commit crimes, they don't do the things that all of these people are accusing them of. The people that have done this to the average, like, American worker are these people that they put in office, are these rich white fucks that they put in office, like Tom Price, who wants to sit here and talk about fiscal responsibility but then fucking flies a government jet that costs $12,000 a flight when he could be flying commercial at $200 a pop.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are the epitome of hypocrites. And the thing is that they have managed to make these wedge issues matter so much to people that they are actively voting against their own best interest. I mean, what we're seeing now essentially is the equivalent. I'm sure you guys remember, and it still sort of is, but I'm sure you guys remember how often abortion was like the wedge issue for people. I knew people that were dyed-in-the-wool as far as, like, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats as far as when it came to social issues, but they could not vote for Obama because he was okay with abortion. And these were church-going people and stuff like that. And so, you know, they helped put someone like Bush in office. These are the same people that helped put someone like Trump in office, because they have been led down this path to believe that, you know, first of all, the opposition are supervillains, and second of all, that they're morally correct. And they don't even understand that the people that they're voting for are the ones who sold them out in the first place.
Yeah.
It's scary.
But in all of this, we do have a hero of this week, and it was none other than Jimmy Kimmel. So for those of you who don't know Jimmy Kimmel, he has his talk show. And a while back when they were going over the last health care bill, he basically told the story about his son who has a heart defect and has had to have a couple of surgeries. And fortunately, you know, because he's wealthy and has, you know, the insurance from his network, he doesn't have to worry financially. But he also had the realization that there was so many people who were in the same spot and did not have the, you know, the advantages that he has. And so he had a very heartfelt thing where he basically told the story. It became big news. And, of course, you had your offhand assholes who tried to make it out to be like, you know, who tried to well, you know what? They're not even worth talking about. Because nobody gives a shit.
Fox and Friends who tried to say yeah. he was pushing it politically on people. Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of the people that was involved in making this current healthcare bill is Bill Cassidy, who basically lied straight to Jimmy Kimmel's face when he was talking about the quote unquote Jimmy Kimmel test. And he yeah. said he was not going to work for legislation unless it had this, 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 and this, and this. And we now have the legislation, and guess what it doesn't have? This, 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 and this. So Jimmy Kimmel went on his show and basically tore into not just Bill Cassidy, but just a whole bunch of people.
Tore into the one guy from Fox and Friends.
Oh, God, yeah. That yeah, was freaking.
Talked about how he is really nice to him in person.
Yeah. But yeah.
When he's not around, he treats him like a piece of shit, calls him Hollywood elite.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff. It's
just, yeah, no, and the funny part is that's the same thing Trump does. Like, all the bullshit that he fucking talks about, like, the liberals and all this shit, Trump wants so badly to be accepted by the same people that he claims he doesn't give a shit about. Look at what he did with Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
You know, every fucking 5 minutes out of his mouth was how awful Chuck Schumer was and all of this shit. And then, you know, he's sitting there making deals with him. Like, Trump yeah. is... And it's just it's a problem with their whole party in general. Is like yeah. they want to be these Hollywood elites that they're fucking railing against. They want to be paid attention to in that way.
Yeah. So for the record, for those of you who don't know, the guy from Fox Friends we're talking about, he actually has his own radio show on the Fox Network, and you know they do the live streaming of that radio show when he's doing it, and during the at that point, he actually played that whole segment of Kimmel's monologue, and you can see, because for those of you who don't know, Jimmy Kimmel actually wrote the blurb for his book, because basically this dude went to Jimmy Kimmel and begged him to do it.
Yeah.
Like, he kissed his ass so much to get him to do it, and he's playing this whole thing, and you're watching this dude, he's in his little radio booth, he goes... I guess just to check and see if it's true, he actually goes and gets a copy of that book just to see if Jimmy Kimmel is telling the truth. And he's looking at it, and just the look on his face, man.
I gotta see that, because Kimmel fucking roasted those guys.
Oh, yeah, he did.
The great thing is, like, all the responses from the obvious people saying, oh, he should stay in his lane. All that, it's like, we got a reality TV star...
Yeah, we have a game show real host estate person as a fucking president.
And yeah. also a great video that Jimmy Kimmel retweeted on his Twitter account. It shows all of the celebrities and actors and such that have been on Fox News over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Nugent, yeah. Rock, Fabio, Scott
Baio,
those guys. And it's like, yeah, look who the president is. Look who Fox News courts constantly. There's no fucking lanes here when it comes to things that we all vote on as citizens of this country.
Yeah. But, all right. So, that has been our hero of the week. Yeah,
there's
now.
Three great videos for each night, each of the last three nights. So,
yeah.
And he's been... channel. I think the most interesting thing about what Kimmel's doing, too, is that, I mean, obviously it's a personal thing for him because it's his son. And I think one of the things that I'm always taken aback by when I have a conversation with somebody about this whole healthcare debate and things like that is that, particularly with Republicans, is they just seem to think that everyone has an agenda. Like, when you watch Brian on Fox and Friends, where he's like, you know, once again, Jimmy Kimmel pushed his political agenda and all this. He's like, I don't know that there's anything political about wanting people to actually be able to stay alive.
And like, no, in any other country, it wouldn't be, but this is the United States we're talking about.
And definitely, I mean, obviously that's a huge part of the problem that we have here. But the fact that so many of these people, I think, work with the idea that the only reason anybody does anything like this is because they have an agenda rather than, oh, Kimmel might actually be a good person who doesn't – who realizes his good fortune and doesn't want to see someone who doesn't have the millions of dollars that he has watch their child die. Like,
yeah.
The fact that they can politicize that is fucking astonishing. And I think says way more about our country as far as what political people's political ideologies are and comparison to just like, you know, this is supposed to be America. We're supposed to be looking out for each other. You're supposed to look out for your fellow man. And I mean, it's like these are the same people, I swear to God, that if when you look at any situation with anybody hurting, they just look at what Cruz did. Cruz fucking shit all over that fucking bill for Sandy when Sandy wrecked the Northeast. And then,
Hurricane Harvey rolls around.
Harvey rolls Texas, and all of a sudden, you know, he gets on TV and lies and says that the Sandy bill had a ton of pork. So that goes back to what I said, you know, a few minutes ago about how these guys only care when the shit actually happens to them. And I think it's rooted in this idea that the only reason that they would do anything is because they have an agenda, and you see them forcing that on Kimmel. Kimmel just doesn't want to see anybody's kid die.
Yeah,
and the fact that anybody could fucking be against that is astonishing. Anyway,
not to see them die in a way that could be easily preventable.
Yeah, that's the craziest part about it.
Could be easily preventable.
It's that whole thing
like if you were living in, say, Phil's country, it would be easily preventable, and you wouldn't have to pay a dime. But no, can't have that.
And I think too. And this will be the last thing I'll say because I don't want to derail this. But I think, too, the other thing that's important when we look at these kinds of things as a country is when you look at a country's budget, or really when you look at anyone's budget, that tells you what their priorities are. We just had in the last week they're going to find an extra $700 billion to give to the military to build ships we don't need that the Pentagon didn't ask for. $700 billion. But we are still here having a healthcare conversation about
saying we can't afford it. We can't afford it.
Exactly. We're sitting here talking about how when you look at just everything that's happening in the country, we can't afford that. We can't afford to help people with education. We can't afford any of this shit. But we can build Abrams tanks, which we will never use in any war that we ever get into from now on, because that's not how we fight war anymore. Like, this is them building the Abrams tanks is the equivalent of us like basically saying, well, we need to go back to the cavalry charge and build horse and buggies. But they are finding money for that, but they are demonizing a guy like Jimmy Kimmel, who has basically said, look, we can take care of this. We're supposed to be the greatest country in the world. We have this money. We're just not using it that way. And the fact that these clowns can turn around and then try to politicize, oh, well, he's just pushing his agenda on it. What? That he doesn't want somebody to die from a heart defect? Like, whenever you deal with health insurance and you deal with lifetime caps, like, I don't think people really understand sometimes how much health insurance or how much health care costs. And once you hit that lifetime cap, you don't get help with anything. Period. Like, these people that think, oh, well, I had a friend of mine tell me one day, oh, if I ended up with $500,000 in medical bills, I'd just figure out a way to pay it. Really? How? You make $15 an hour.
Exactly.
Put chains on you? Like, what? How do you think you're going to do that? And, like, that disconnect that he thinks he would be able to come up with $500,000 in his lifetime and still take care of everything else he needs to is absurd. And that same logic gets applied, I think, when we look at any of this stuff. And they just – there's a base decency, I think, that should be expected of Americans. And if we could prevent someone from not dying, that's what we should do. And these guys aren't for that, therefore giving tax cuts to rich people.
I am surprised that it is even a political position in this country that people's health should be taken care of. It is – I am absolutely incredulous that it is a controversial political position.
And well, people in the rest of the world are incredulous that it is a political position because in their places, universal health care or, you know, socialized medicine is just an everyday reality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you also have to look at, too, like, you know, who's taking the money? Like, Mitch McConnell's over the last 6 years has received $5.6 million from the health industry. Like,
yeah, people, but anyway, we got to keep going. I don't mean to cut you off, Lee, but we got to keep going. But anyway, so First big story of the night, Hurricane Maria came in and basically took a giant shit on Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is 100% without power right now, and that is not rhetorical. I mean, the entire island is without electricity.
Yeah, we have family there.
Yeah.
My wife's Puerto Rican.
The whole,
beside herself about it.
Yeah, and there's power. That place was basically cut off from the outside world for a good couple of days.
Yeah.
Because all the phone towers were down.
And they had a big scare because one of their dams is damaged, and I think it might have...
Yeah, it's getting breached.
Yeah, they've had to evacuate 70,000 people just for that.
Yeah, and this is like just a week or a couple of weeks after Irma came through.
Yeah.
Well, Puerto Rico has not, in the last century, has never taken a full hit from a hurricane, ever.
Yeah.
This is the first time. And
they
already have so many economical problems. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have actually ever been there. I have. And my wife is from there. She's not one of those people that says, I'm Puerto Rican, but I was born in New York. So, like, she's from the island. And just without even going into details, just the socioeconomic issues there that have sort of led to this kind of thing even happening.
And keep in mind, the people in Puerto Rico are American citizens.
They're American citizens, yeah.
That is – you have to remember that. They may not be technically a state, but they are in American territory. And if you are born in American territory, you are an American citizen and are afforded all the rights and liberties of an American citizen. And people just don't give a shit.
No.
Congress doesn't give a shit. They've done a lot of work excluding Puerto Rico out of things like bankruptcy protection and other things that could help them in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully
under a tremendous amount of debt too, and that's the other thing that makes it worse. Like, this is
they're required to pay back those debts before paying off, you know, electricity and various other government expenses.
It's scary.
Like, that's ridiculous. And I hope the bright side of this hurricane is that finally helps them put the spotlight on those issues and gets them fixed.
Yeah. That's
because
what we
they're
can
gonna hope. Need a lot of financial aid, and if that can help them say, hey, we should not fuck them in the ass with these.
Yeah, and the other thing I forgot to mention. They're probably – most of that island is probably going to be without electricity until next year.
Yeah, it's going to be
– they said a few months at least.
Yeah.
And like, guys, like, it's not a joke. Like, parts of Puerto Rico are, like, third world country. Like, San Juan is not, but, you know, a good chunk not a good chunk, but part of that place is – And
these are American citizens.
Exactly,
remember, I need to drill that into people's heads. They are citizens of the United States of America. They're not foreigners. They're not immigrants. They are – I mean, none of that should matter to begin with, but they
are – We have a fiscal responsibility to them. Like, the reason that Puerto Rico is having a good chunk of the financial issues that they're having in the first place is because of what American colonialism has done to them.
So much lots of love to Puerto Rico.
I think Lin-Manuel Miranda has been doing some fundraising stuff.
Yeah, he's pretty much been the most public advocate because he's from
him
there.
And his family have been raising money for to at least do as much as they can.
Yeah, but all right, so moving on from there. So the above happened. What we just mentioned happened. An entire island full of American citizens do not have electricity and probably will not for the next few months, well into next year. But what was our president doing? He was on Twitter shitting on the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah, I looked at his personal account. He has in the past week talked about Puerto Rico twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, we will be there to help. And that was about 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Since then, he's been talking about the whole Colin Kaepernick issue with the NFL.
Yeah.
As well as so the Warriors are starting their training camp, and some of the media have talked about their upcoming visit to the White House. And a number of the people on the team have said,
fuck you, we're not going.
That and, like, they were going to talk about it with the whole team and sort of figure out what they wanted to do. But yeah, a couple of them saying, I'm not really looking forward to it. I don't think we're going to do it. But we haven't made a decision yet. And Trump heard about that and it's like, he does that thing that kids do where it's like the one kid is like, your house smells like cat piss or whatever. I was like, well, fine. You're not invited anyway.
You're not invited. Yeah. You can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah. Did the kid version of that. Yeah. It's like, you can't go to my party. You weren't invited.
Yeah.
God, what a which means
child.
If you want athletes to do more kneeling for the national anthem, they're going to do it now because they have more reasons to.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess the first Major League Baseball player has kneeled. Bruce Maxwell, catcher for the Oakland A's, who is a son of military, was born in one of the military bases. So he's very much a military brat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not disrespecting anything.
No.
There's always that whole thing of disrespecting the flag, which I saw a great thread on Twitter, specifically about the flag codes and how
we
constantly violate it with things like flag-based clothing.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to hold the flag horizontally, which they do for every football game.
Yeah,
you spread it across the field. Not supposed to use the flag in marketing materials.
Which we do
all sorts of stuff.
All the fucking
time. Like, basically, everybody that trumpets America and all that, they're breaking flag codes constantly.
Yeah.
And kneeling is not anywhere close to an issue with the flag codes.
No.
With this
and furthermore, if only Trump could summon up that same kind of you know, anger towards people like Nazis, but they're very fine folks. But Kaepernick is a son of a bitch.
Yeah. And he's basically going around demanding, he's like, well, if they don't do the Pledge of Allegiance, you need to if they don't, you know, stand up during the anthem, fire them. I'm like, motherfucker, you don't own these organizations. And number two,
he wanted to buy the Bills, and I think that's why he has a grudge against the NFL.
Yeah.
And
number two, you're the president. You're not fucking Generalissimo of America. You stupid orange shit. Just.
And I think we also just had our first NFL owner actually speak out in support of the people kneeling, which is fucking took too long, for one.
Yeah, but
it's a year after that stuff started happening.
The problem with that, though, is like, are you talking about what Goodell said?
No.
Okay.
The owner of the Dolphins.
Okay.
It's the first owner to publicly say anything, first off, but to say anything in support.
Yeah, because I know Goodell said something, and
he said the most milquetoast.
Well, and that's the problem, right? Like, everybody's responses to Trump, for the most part, are that sort of milquetoast bullshit. Like, they will not call this guy out by name.
Like, at least if they're
that kills
rich,
me.
Rich white guys.
Yeah, if they're rich white guys, they are not calling out Trump.
LeBron James responded to this and just said, you bum. Steph Curry said he wasn't going to go, so he isn't invited.
Yeah.
Basically said, you're a fucking moron. And which is going to be great if Trump ever responds to any of that stuff. As a bunch of other athletes have also come out and said things you would expect about how stupid Trump is over this shit. And it's like, you've got millions of people in Puerto Rico that need your attention right now.
Yeah, that,
and you're sitting here fucking around at rallies and on Twitter.
Well, that's sort of the whole problem with Trump in general, is just that what he's doing shows what he cares about. He is not interested in actually being the president for anybody that didn't vote for him.
And he's still bitching about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Dude, you're the president. You've been president for 7 months. She's not. Dude, move on.
It goes back to him needing that acceptance, man. Like, he, despite all the shit that he talks, he wants to be accepted by these people. And the fact that he hasn't, just it is a personal insult to him because he's a narcissist.
Yeah. Well, speaking of narcissists, we talked about this guy earlier. House of Homeland Security Secretary Tom Price. Talks about how he's in the common man and how we need to stop spending so much tax dollars and then waste a shit ton of taxpayer money with chartered flights.
$12,000 basically average.
$300,000 he's wasted with 24 flights, and some even as short as DC.
It was an hour. Yeah, there was one there. There was one that he flew to Florida, and it was like an hour. And he had come out and said like, we only did that because, or like his assistant or somebody came out and said they only did this because there weren't any flights available. And then like a couple of news organizations, like the Times, looked it up and said, no, you could have gone. It was from Georgia to Tennessee, and it was like you could have gone for $202.
Yeah,
and
I think there's only been one legit which went to Alaska.
Yeah,
where it's a very remote part of the state, so that's reasonable. But everything else is like you could have at the very least gotten a car or a limo or something like that. But at the very least, you could have flown, you know, the cheapest airfare you could have gotten.
Well, the other part that's crazy about it is that, on top of him talking all this shit about fiscal conservatism and needing to, you know, be a penny pincher, nobody knows what he's doing during these trips.
Yeah, like, he has like five of these crazy this week.
Yeah, and it's not trying to shore up help for repealing Obamacare or anything else like that. Like, nobody knows what he's actually fucking doing.
No.
Yeah, but
it's real brazenness of just saying, hey, we're just going to do this and nobody's going to stop us.
Yeah. Well, and we'd like to remind, he used to be me and Ali's congressperson. Yeah.
The fact, and he's one of those people that brings up his bona fides. Like, well, I'm a doctor, so I know what works here and all that. No. You're not. Just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you actually understand how healthcare billing works.
Yeah.
Those aren't even the same fucking job, Tom.
No, they're not. That's billing. It's a different department. I should know if you ever go to a goddamn doctor and ask about insurance, what do they fucking tell you? Talk to the billing department.
Yeah.
You fucking caveman.
Yeah, but exactly.
Anyway, so moving on. The country of Nicaragua has signed on to the Paris Climate Accords in solidarity with those affected by the recent weather.
Which
so good on them.
The U.S. and Syria is the only countries not in it.
Yeah.
Trump and his buddy over there.
Yeah. Although it looks like even with the U.S., it looks like even then we're going to end up backpedaling and not actually unsigning ourselves from it. So,
yeah, well, we still wouldn't be able to get out of it for at least a few more years.
Yeah. Anyway. Now for another really big story. So, it's a death, unfortunate death. It actually happened back in May, but we're only just learning about it now.
A gentleman, credit to Equifax?
Yeah. Rest in peace to Stanislav Petrov, the Soviet soldier who, back in 1983, managed to avert nuclear war. Like, yeah. Literally. So this guy was, I think he was in charge of the their monitoring department in the Soviet Army, and they were getting their equipment was telling them that there was nuclear missiles headed towards their location.
I think it was just one.
Yeah, it was just one. And it was obviously, as we know now, it was a false reading. So here's the thing, though. You got to remember, this was 1983. You know, this was Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
The age of the evil empire. You know, it had been a good couple of decades before our tensions with the Soviets had been this high, and everybody was on edge. And this one little flag, if someone had taken the reading wrong, you would be looking at nukes flying over the Midwest.
Yeah.
But he was able to look at it, and he was able to say, no, this is probably a false flag. He went against protocol and basically said, no, don't worry about it, and walked away. He faced ramifications for this, by the way. He actually got removed from his post.
Yeah.
And nobody found out about it for years years and years until I think the 90s after the Soviet Union fell. And people suddenly realized, holy shit, this dude may have saved the world from nuclear Armageddon, and nobody knew about it for the longest time.
Yeah, I think his logic was essentially that they wouldn't send one nuclear missile at us. They were sending several.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is probably a fake...
false positive.
False positive, yeah.
Yeah.
And basically didn't report that this was happening to his superiors.
Pretty much.
So they didn't know it until they found out later on. But yeah. And I think... the only reason we know he's dead is because the director of the documentary that he was featured in, he went to try to get in contact with him, just see how he's doing, and found out he had died in May. So that's why we're finding out about this so late.
Now.
Yeah.
So yeah, holy shit, this dude's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about an unsung hero.
And by doing something something so utterly mundane, you know.
Showing some common sense and, you know, looking at the screen is like, yeah, that's not right.
Yeah. So.
And the crazy thing is,
RMP,
the technology we have, our nuclear missiles and such, housed in and checked on, is the same stuff that this was in.
Yeah.
We haven't upgraded any of the hardware or software really.
No, we haven't. Wow. So.
Which is crazy. They're still sitting in missile silos and such on, you know, computers from the 80s and 70s.
Yep.
God. Same with the ones that are in former Soviet territories as well.
Yeah.
There's a great video that Drew Scanlon, former of Janet Bomb, did on his new channel. I forget what it's called. Cough Map. One of his first videos, he went over to one of those countries and sort of toured the former missile base. That's now kind of a museum. But they still have, like, live equipment, but I think all the missiles are gone for the most part.
It's fun. It's weird seeing some of the stuff in the old Soviet territory. They've turned into, like, tourist traps. Yeah. Like, they've got, like, places now where you can, like, all the old, like, gulags and, you know, the prison camps, you can actually, like, pay to go for a day, experience what it was like to be in a gulag.
Yeah, or see,
and to be,
like,
treated as such.
Where they locked up.
You marked, like, that off my bucket list.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, see where, like, a handful of people were in these missile silos in the most cramped quarters possible. Just to make sure that if the nuclear bomb was... sent to their country or whatever, they would be, you know, the few people that would know about it before everybody else.
Yeah.
And possibly be able to stop it. Sort of just say, oh, here's the bombs we didn't kill you with.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, rest in peace, Comrade Petrov. You were a true hero. Now for a story that just kind of sucks. Toys R Us has officially filed for bankruptcy protection. Now, they've said they're going to keep the stores open, but, God, that sucks. Because I used to love Toys R Us. And,
Yeah, you can thank Mitt Romney for this. Bain Capital is one of the people that loaded up Toys R Us with debt. Yep. Same way that they did with KB Toys in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And the weird thing I saw when reading this is that apparently the vast majority of their stores are still very profitable.
Yeah.
It's just that weird corporate debt that is draining down.
Yeah, and they got loaded up with debt back when Bain Capital took them over.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, we used to have a Toys R Us here, like, a few years, like, you know, a good decade or so ago.
Yeah.
And then just inexplicably they shut it down and it disappeared. And I was like, and that thing was doing crazy business.
Yeah, the one that's here is still in the same place where it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is there were a Best Buy and a Circuit City pretty much across the street. And those two are completely gone, as well as any other big, like, restaurants and whatnot. And so it's like this sad Toys R Us. It's in, like, its own valley parking lot. And it's like, you're only going in this area if you're going to that. Or if you just happen to be on the way to the other things, you're like, ah, I'll stop and see what's going on here. I remember going a few years ago.
Good business, but...
And it's like, oh, there's a PSP Go in like 2012. Where the fuck did this go from? And it was still near full price. It wasn't like
the Toys R Us. The Toys R Us I grew up with, still, as far as I know, it still does really good business. And it's actually very similar to what you mentioned. There was a Circuit City that was there too, and yeah, there ain't shit there now. But I remember being a kid and going there, like talking my mother into it and going there and looking at the NES wall. And that was back when they didn't have the games there. So you had to like go get a card and take it to a guy.
One of those little plastic slips and take it up to the
register.
To the man.
Take it to the guy in the cage. Yeah. But see, what's funny about that, though, is like there's a Toys R Us now up near where I live, and that place is never busy. I don't know how the fuck they're even open. So it's getting and they're really close to a Best Buy and everything. I think it's just a shitty shopping center. But it's one of those things where it's like, I get why the other one was open, but I can't fucking fathom how they keep this place open, because every time I go in there, there is like five people there and four of them are the employees.
Yeah, so, it might just be that they must not be spending that much money as far as like stock and all that.
Yeah, that's sort of that shit either.
Yeah, so. It must not be like they're moving a bunch of high money stuff.
Yeah.
Must be just cheap enough to make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, I think that real estate in and of itself, because it's on one of the busiest streets in the entire area that I live in. It's the busiest street. So I think that's the other reason that they keep it, is because it probably monetarily on their books looks fantastic that they own that property.
That's a good point.
So it's crazy when you think about Toys R Us, like if this could be one of the next thing that goes out of business, like I think everybody here has memories of that place and going there with games and just the idea that that could be something else that could possibly be going away is just fucking crazy to me.
I know. It's like it's almost like part of our past is being, you know, extinguished. Yeah. I don't know.
It was I talked my mom into taking me there to find a copy of Double Dragon, and I don't know why in the hell she would ever even agree to that. Like, she had to have known if they had the game, I was going to ask for it, you know? And I have, like, good memories of that with my mom and stuff like that, of her just trying to make me happy, even though we didn't have a lot. And, and seeing that card and then, like, oh, there's a piece of paper here that means that it's in stock.
That's where I pre-order my PS2. And a couple games and all that. That's when I got a paperboy job to pay for that, which was like $100 a month. So it was pretty easy to make the money for that. Then I also went to KB Toys the same time because I had other games pre-ordered there. But I had like a Gran Turismo 2000 pre-ordered for the PS2 launch, which turned into Gran Turismo 3 the summer after, which was one of those weird things.
Because Toys R Us never moved into Cache Valley. For me, it was always KB Toys.
See, we used to have KB in a mall, and I remember buying so many games from there and action figures. Mm-hmm. And I think I got my Genesis from KB. I can't remember. I miss Media Play. Media Play is where I got my Dreamcast.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, you're hurting my heart. I fucking miss Media Play so much.
That's where I would get my – that was when I first had a DVD player. Like, right before that, like, when we were still getting tapes and shit, where I could go there and, like, legitimately get anime and not have it suck.
Yeah.
Oh.
God damn. I miss Media Play so bad. That place was geek paradise.
Overcharging. But like Suncoast Video. You guys remember Suncoast Video?
Yeah, that's what we had. We didn't have Media Play. Suncoast. Yeah. You just walked in there. They're like, you're like, this is my mecca.
These are my peoples.
Yeah.
Media Play is where I legit bought my first porno. Like,
that's awesome.
Okay. Like the week after I turned 18.
On Media Play.
Yeah.
But anyway,
the version we had here was Sam Goody.
Yeah. We had Sam Goody, too. I remember that. Yeah, we had Sam Goody, too. The mall by me that used to just have stuff like that. We had a KB toy in it. We had two arcades at one point. We had a Sam Goody. They had a the video store that we were talking about. And all that shit is gone. It's like now the shit's like a buckle and like Forever 21 and shit. It's like fucking chill that
shit. Yeah, well, anyway. All right. So moving on. Trix, that everybody's beloved breakfast cereal. And you know what? Fuck the commercials. Trix are for rabbits, too. You know what? Lepine lives matter.
You know what? They are going to have multicolored shits all over your rug. You better watch
true.
It.
Yeah. Anyway, so for those of you who don't know, for a little while, Trix decided to get rid of the artificial colors for the colored bits of their cereal. Yeah, they're bringing them back now.
People complain on the internet.
What?
It's not
Trix. Really?
Not the artificial colors. I mean, really.
I want them to bring back. I want them to bring back the fruit shapes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But I remember a couple of years back, somebody I read something on the internet. And it was like, what if the reason that Trix are just like circular balls now is because Trix are supposed to be for kids, and now we're not kids, and that's why they're not fruit shaped anymore. And I was like, man, you smoke way too much weed, but I'm not even that mad. That is a keen observation.
Yeah, but so Trix is bringing back the artificial colors, and I guess people kind of realized after a while that just because something is artificial doesn't necessarily mean it's toxic.
No.
It was going through.
Come here.
We were kind of going through that whole organic boom, and I think it's finally starting to fade out.
Nobody wants fucking organic sugar bomb cereal. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And really, trust me.
Bring back Pac-Man cereal, please.
Trust me. I do it. You know, having Trix with artificial colors really interferes with my yoga.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I need to go drink a kale smoothie to ease out my chakra. Just
Trust me. You can't have a Trix box in there and have your kitchen be feng shui.
Yeah. So moving on, who here uses Sea Cleaner?
I've used it.
Yeah, I still use it. Crap Cleaner. What used to be called Crap Cleaner. Nope. And then I guess it started to become more popular, so they had to rebrand it. But people just found out that, so Avast is the company that does Sea Cleaner, and apparently Sea Cleaner has been infected with malware for like two months now, and apparently Avast had no idea.
Yeah, it was a period of 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Their download servers got compromised. They were actually kind of clever on how they did it, because they knew that if they changed the installer itself, it would probably set off red flags.
Mm-hmm.
So what they ended up doing was, because the installer itself was signed, they added in just their own little component.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay, it throws up a warning when you when you're installing it, but yeah, for somebody who's just, you know, not really paying attention, they're not really going to notice. So it was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a warning. Yeah, okay, I give you permission to do that, even though probably should have read that more closely.
Yeah. Yeah, and about 2.27 million people downloaded these infected versions of Sea Cleaner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, it's actually a little worse than that. Because what's being discovered now is that this malware was being prepared for an attack on American companies. Like, Intel, Symantec, they were basically going to be using that to try to get in and do some international espionage. Industrial espionage.
That's right.
Not that it's safe anymore. I'm just going to unplug everything.
Going to go out live in the woods somewhere in a shack.
Yeah. Without some crazy Russian trying
about when
Avast
bought Sea Cleaner.
Well, I mean, they've been okay about it. I mean, it's not like, you know, Avast has screwed it up or anything. It's just a matter of, like, they weren't looking. And, you know, why would they? It's, you know, it's it's there. It's been working. They've had their processes, and those have all been working. And then an external entity like, you know, Symantec has been starts poking around, and it's like, whoa, hey guys,
what the fuck is this?
This is probably not supposed to be there. Fortunately, it looks as if this malware botnet that was being assembled didn't actually come to completion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, and I got to give them credit, too. At least they admitted this shit happened. You know?
Yeah. Like,
I still can't get over the whole fucking Equifax thing. I'm blown away by that.
Oh, the Equifiasco.
Yeah, like... Because it's not, you know, because at least, like, we can choose to install CCleaner on our computers. Nobody chose to let Equifax have their social security number. Like, if we have a problem with CCleaner, we can uninstall that bitch. I can't change my social.
Mm-mm.
No.
So. No. So. Anyway, moving on from there. Google has spent about $1.1 billion to acquire the majority of HTC's phone team. Yeah, you're gonna have to explain this one.
Yeah, they didn't buy HTC outright because they weren't selling. What they actually bought was the engineers in their white label division.
Why they gotta be white, Phil?
Well, that's called. It's just white label. It's and the folks that are behind the whole powered by HTC thing, basically just. The engineers that have been kind of working on the Pixel products and stuff to begin with.
Yeah, it makes
sense. So they're just kind of, you know, buying those people outright, as well as patents and design to go along with it, so that they can just do their own hardware now and not have to externalize it anymore.
I think it makes a lot of sense, too. I used to sell this kind of shit, and HTC had all the Android phones, were always the group that were looked on the best. And it makes sense because, you know, Google is not leaving the smartphone scene ever. And, you know, the big problem that I ran into when I sold this shit, too, is that biggest problem you have with Android is you can stick Android on anything. And so the actual performance based on the hardware and who was making it and everything can be just drastically very erratic. HTC never really had that issue. So them kind of bringing them in to handle their hardware makes a lot of sense, because otherwise it's just, you know, the only other person that I, in my opinion, that makes really solid Android hardware is Samsung. So with and Google doesn't want to deal with a lot of that shit. If they can just, you know, get another group to manufacture the shit that's better than them anyway, that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's also because Google is, you know, branching out into stuff like tablets, and they want to do VR headsets and all that stuff. So they kind of need a manufacturing arm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what HTC gives them.
All right. And now with that is the end of the serious portion of the show. And now we get to the fun stuff.
Full on absurdity coming up.
Apparently in a Colorado neighborhood, there's this jogger going around taking a shit on people's lawn.
Yes.
All right, so somebody's going to have to explain this one.
I've been told
that this person has actually been caught, like, on footage.
They
have video.
They actually, like, apparently, like, they have footage of the woman. Apparently, the lady whose house this lady keeps shitting in front of has actually, like, confronted this lady and talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
She said, seriously? Are you pooping here right in front of my kids? She's like, sorry, gotta go.
Gotta go.
And then she stuffs paper towels in the legs of her jogging shorts to wipe with. And she goes around to different places all around this park and poops. And there are public bathrooms right there.
Yeah, that's the craziest part. There's a public bathroom across the street from where this lady is shitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they say that she does this about once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They nicknamed her the Mad Pooper.
Yeah,
I mean, she's got seriously coffee before her runs.
Well, like, no, like, running can make you want to poop, but, like, the fact that this lady has options and doesn't explore them is the shit that kills me.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're looking at mental illness here, clearly.
Oh, very obvious. Please,
well, that is what this, I mean, you're gonna get busted for that. Like, that's indecent exposure. That's you know, fucking using the bathroom in a public setting. Like, they, like, you will get. You get fucking arrested for this shit. Like, you fucking exposing yourself in front of children?
Yeah. And there's a great quote here. I put a sign on the wall that's like, please, I'm begging you, please stop. She ran by it like 15 times yesterday and she still pooped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I still feel like there's way more to this story. Like, this lady shitting on these people's lawns, like, they did something to this woman.
No, it's not just there. She's doing it in other places.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she,
yes.
Yeah, she just randomly does it all over the neighborhood.
She just pops a squat and takes a crap.
That's amazing.
No, it's not.
No, Teresa. This makes more sense to me than you fucking shacking up with some dude in Final Fantasy. Oh, okay? So I think we... Let's make sure we clarify that. No, like, I, like, oh my god.
Oh god, there's a great part of this. Charmin is getting in on this. They put out a tweet. If the hashtag mad pooper turns herself in, we'll give her a year's supply of teepee to help with her runs. Hashtag... Enjoy the Goss. Oh, this just goes right into a URL or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
I'm sorry. That is amazing. Like, because it's not even personal. It's just like, I'm just going to shit wherever I want. Fuck y'all. You know this had to be. This is totally Colorado. That lady is probably token up before she runs, and she don't give a fuck. She's just like, yeah, I'm just doing my thing.
Oh, man.
I'm
gonna
poop, baby.
She's not running slow. She's not token. Mm-hmm. But it's premeditated pooping because she brings paper towels.
That's the best ass. Thing I've heard all week.
And premeditated.
I mean, she knows her body really well.
That lady knows what she's doing.
But, I mean, yeah. Can she treat herself like a dog and use the hand in the bag and pick it up and dispose of it? No, she's leaving her feces and the paper towels in the park.
I wonder if she could go by the White House. They'd probably shoot her ass.
Probably. Anyway.
That is amazing. I didn't know that she was just doing it to like random places. Like the report that I saw was like she kept doing it outside the same house. So I'm sitting here thinking like,
well, this is in the neighborhood.
To this lady. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Meditated pooping.
Yeah. Anyway,
she's picking the lawns out. Like, she's just like, I'm going to go at 3111.
I haven't been at this one for a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's marking her fucking territory. Like, I'll show those dogs.
Oh, God.
Mm. All right, moving on. NASA recently discovered a new planet that is about as black as asphalt and eats light. So, the dark one has come. Long may he reign.
Yeah, so this exoplanet is called WASP-12b. It's one of the classes they call a hot Jupiter. So it's a big gaseous planet. It's a big gaseous planet that orbits very close to the host star. I think I saw that it's about 1.1 Earth days to go around the sun, which is really fast. And the temperature on the planet is about 4,600 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm.
Yeah, not exactly your summer vacation spot.
Yeah, and it's about as black as asphalt, so it's literally just absorbing tons of light into it. Yeah. So that's there is very little of it that's reflecting back into space, which makes it pretty hard to find this sort of planet.
Yeah.
You're basically just looking at the sun and noticing, oh, there's a little bit that's dark spots showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it passes by, they're like, wait a minute!
That's how they catch a lot of planets, essentially, is they look at these stars and notice these dark spots passing by.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess the nighttime side is about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit cooler. It basically has a night side and a day side that's fixed.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as material eating light, we actually have some of that stuff here on Earth.
It's
yeah.
a really dark...
really, really dark paint.
It's which just, they've used for ice cream as well. Or at least as close to that as they can. It's freaky looking stuff to see almost pure black ice cream.
Mm-hmm. I would feel like I'm like eating the devil's asshole if I had pure black ice
cream. What I've seen people that have seen like that particular paint is it just breaks your mind because it's so dark.
Oh, don't ignore the paint. It's just eating your soul.
Yeah.
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 All right. So moving on. Powerpuff Girls. Yeah, they're back.
This one.
Yeah. And they have now actually gained a fourth sister. Technically, it's the sixth because they had two others that were temporarily a member of the team. Moving on.
But, it's like a fourth actual sister.
Yeah. This one is, she's meant to be a permanent, like, fixture. She is a dark-skinned teenager named Bliss.
She looks like a
pony. Guess how the internet reacted.
She looks like a pony.
Horribly, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She does.
Yeah.
I love her hair.
Yep.
But guess how the internet reacted.
Oh, God.
I don't know exactly how the internet would react. About as horribly as you could expect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't universal.
What the fuck is the internet?
It's not universal. There was still a lot of folks who liked the new character, but there was also those who had problems because they were, for number one, messing with their canon, and number two, adding a new sister that wasn't white.
So they got a black sister. Who gives a shit? Stupid internet.
Yeah.
And she is made a little bit differently. She has chemical W instead of chemical X.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the in-universe reason.
Well, it's really important we don't tip the fucking Powerpuff Girls canon on its head. We bad things could happen, guys.
Well, there are people that are very involved in invested in that stuff.
Yeah, I bet you they also dress up like rabbits in their free time.
And they also tend to, wear fedoras and gather at certain rallies where they march around with tiki torches.
Hey, let me ask a question to everybody. Yeah. So, because I don't really get on Twitter. Like, I follow like two people because like I use Twitter for news, and I get the impression that a lot of people use Twitter for outrage.
Mm-hmm.
Am I off in thinking that? Because you guys obviously seem like you're on Twitter a lot more than I am, and I think that's the exact same reason why I stay the fuck away from it, because it just seems
I actually use Facebook far more than I use Twitter. Like, I may go on Twitter, like, once or twice a week.
Yeah. So. It just seems like the outrage Olympics to me.
Yeah, it is.
It is the outrage engine.
If you follow the right people, you don't see that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I just use Twitter for news. I follow journalists.
It's like the reason why you don't read the comments on YouTube videos that are about social issues.
Yeah.
It's like the same reason why you don't read comments on Trump's tweets or hashtags about anything.
I hate hashtags in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I guess I'm an old...
But it's a good way to know if there's insane people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I search for a random hashtag, and just sometimes you'd be very, very surprised what comes up.
The only hashtags I tend to like are the ones that John Oliver does.
Yeah, when he
hashtag won shut down the fuck barrel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when he won his show, won the Emmy, he basically had people hashtag DC public schools just to get it to trend for no reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I wasn't trying to derail. It's funny because we've been talking about this the whole show. Yeah. Twitter's come up, and like I said, the only thing I use Twitter for is like a notification of news that something else happened, and that happens so much now that my phone gives me anxiety.
Yeah, pretty much. Well,
I just follow cool people, and then all the shit doesn't surface very often.
I will say, I love Twitter for the Jimmy Kimmel segments, like the mean tweets, and I love I don't know if it was Kimmel for this one, but somebody did some shit where they did a musical version of Kanye's tweets. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I remember one of them was like, I make great decisions in bike stores. I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. So yeah. That's about it. That's all I
need anyway,
Twitter for.
Yeah, so we only got a couple more of these to do. First of all, the CW, for those of you who don't know, CW has this really popular show now called Riverdale, which is sort of their take on Archie Comics, and it's actually doing pretty well. So the folks who were doing that show have decided they want to work on the other major Archie property, which of course is Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, I heard about this.
And they want to integrate it into their little Riverdale canon that they've created for themselves.
Yeah, which I guess they're basing it on the more recent Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of a darker take on that stuff.
Yeah, she explained it all.
This will be very different from that.
I know. Come on, man.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be funny to see. The people are like, oh, yeah, Melissa Joan Hart and the animatronic cats. Yeah, I'm going to watch the show and, like,
legit
see occult shit and witch stuff and all this stuff. Witchcraft and all this dark shit. Like, what the hell is this?
The Riverdale is a comic, too, I thought. Isn't it?
There actually is another Archie comic that
it's supposed to be like, because I could swear I thought Mark Waid wrote for it.
Yeah, Mark Waid writes it.
I've talked about it quite a bit on this show.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah,
yeah, like you said, outrage culture. When this debuts, you're going to see a lot of that.
Oh yeah.
Hashtag but not again, my Sabrina.
Hashtag this is bullshit.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, though, of all the things, I actually did not expect Archie to come back in popularity. But, whatever.
Yeah,
well, so,
be circular.
Yeah, that's true. Well, moving on, there is another Terminator movie coming. God, I don't know why, but...
James Cameron's on a quest to fix everything, I guess.
Yeah.
Destiny came out of the last Terminators when they fucking did the preview in Entertainment Weekly and everybody looked ridiculous, but the one Terminator was like smiling.
Yeah.
Which makes internet sense. Went in. Like, what, so I remember seeing pictures was like, hi, welcome to the internet, I'll be your guy.
Yeah. So the thing is, in this next Terminator movie, Linda Hamilton is coming back.
No shit.
Yeah. Sarah Connor back.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor's going to be back in the saddle. And
so it's gonna,
Arnold's going to be back as well.
Yeah.
This is going to be weird. If this is going to be a reboot with everybody really old.
Yeah.
I
don't know if it's going to be a reboot. It might just be like retconning the last few movies.
Because they were shit.
And James, everything after 2 didn't happen.
Yeah. This is going to be directed by Tim Miller of Deadpool fame.
Yeah.
So there's... That. So there's that, and James Cameron sort of in charge, which is going to be interesting.
Sometimes I just sit here and think about this, like, what are you guys trying to accomplish exactly? Like, I think for the most part, like, they've told the stories that they can tell with that universe. Like, the idea itself is always going to be compelling, but, you know, they lost the plot many, many moons ago.
Yeah, they're pitching this movie as a direct sequel to Terminator 2. So they're
clearly
looking to turn it back to the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be weird. Especially if you watch it directly after Terminator 2.
Yeah.
It's like everybody is 30 years older, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Next up, we also got the first trailer for the new Tomb Raider. For those you don't know, they're rebooting the Tomb Raider movie part of the franchise. And
it's more like the most recent games.
Yeah, and it doesn't look half bad.
Yeah, I'm okay with this, actually.
Did you get to see the poster where Photoshop magic was pulled on her neck?
Yeah, she
It just looks really bad.
Yeah.
I think people are basically trying to suggest she's part giraffe in this.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, I know you can stretch things in Photoshop, but sometimes just don't.
Don't.
You don't need to.
Mm-mm. And now for another trailer that I freaking love the hell out of. We got the first trailer for the next Wes Anderson animated film. For those of you don't know, he also did Fantastic Mr. Fox, by the way. And it's called The Isle of Dogs. And what it is it's about a big, you know how they have like those big garbage islands?
Yeah.
Well, the sort of idea of this movie is that in Japan, they had a epidemic of just having too many dogs in the country, and so they start shipping them all off to this garbage island. And it's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, and a boy sets off to find his dog.
Yeah.
And weirdly, the humans speak Japanese because they're from Japan. The dogs speak English.
I mean, well, yeah, obviously.
And what's funny is, like, there's a part in there who's like, man, I wish some of us knew how to speak this kid's language. Oh, man. And it's stop-motion animated like Fantastic Mr. Fox was, and it looks awesome. Yeah, it really does. And finally, we got the first trailer for The Punisher on Netflix.
Yes.
That was good.
It is good.
Amazing.
Dude, I'm rewatching Daredevil Season 2 right now with my kid. We actually made an exception to let him watch it because he's read the comics. And yeah. Every time The Punisher is on screen, like I've been a comic book fan since I was 5 years old. Punisher was one of the very first comics I read. It was Wolverine, and they had an issue with Punisher and all this stuff. And I've never particularly cared for the character. But there is something away about the way that is it Barenthal? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is something about the way that guy portrays Frank Castle that is like defining for me as the character, like the same way that Kevin Conroy is like definitive as far as Batman goes for me. And like, we just rewatched the episode in season 2 of Daredevil where he's in the hospital and he's talking about how his memories come and go of his family. And like, I don't get emotionally upset about much as far as movies or TV shows go. I found myself, like, when this guy was struggling to remember his child, like, I found myself being teary-eyed because I'm sitting there with my kid watching it. And I think it says a tremendous amount about the way that that guy has been able to bring that character to the screen, because if he played it wrong, then, you know, because essentially the Punisher is really just a serial killer, you know?
Yeah, he is. That's basically it. Punisher is a serial killer who uses the excuse of fighting crime, and and people always forget that that's basically what he's always been supposed to be. You know, during the anti-hero years in the during the Dark Age in the 90s, he kind of became sort of not necessarily a cliche, but like sort of a trope that all these other heroes sort of base themselves on. But the problem is they all forget the central conceit about Frank Castle is he is a broken, empty man who is basically a mass murderer.
Yeah.
He tries to take down the evil people.
Yeah, and like when you can write him in a compelling way, like when Garth Ennis did it, you know, it's very interesting, but he's still very much written as a cold character, whereas, you know, the way that John Barenthal portrayed him is truly is this wounded person who is raging against the fact that his for two specific things. Like in the hospital scene, he talks about how he heard his family get gunned down and he didn't do anything. So you see him move out of a sense of guilt. But then also really out of an extremely, I think, understandable sense of rage. And I don't think that he's ever really been conveyed that way, at least in a way that was compelling to me. So I cannot wait for the show. I'm sure it's going to be dark as shit and whatever, but
yeah.
I just want to see that guy play the Punisher again. Like, he is fucking amazing.
Yep. And this trailer is another great Netflix trailer where they find a perfect song to put the show bits to.
Yeah.
This time it's One by Metallica. Mm-hmm. And actually lines up the gunshots to the various drum parts of that song.
Yeah.
And does a really good job of fitting that vibe.
Well, and this will be a great thing to wash the taste of Iron Fist out of everybody's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
We didn't even finish Iron Fist. We got to, like, episode 8, and it was like, why the fuck are we watching this?
I got to watch the first 2 episodes, like, okay, I see where this is going to be going.
Yeah.
It, I don't need anymore.
Was so flawed. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
Yeah, well, anyway, we got a show, folks. So that's going to wrap it up for us. If you would like to, I would like to remind our listeners, if you would like to write into the show, have something you want to read on the air, have a question to ask, or some ways you think we could improve, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. And we want to hear from you because our audience is, in fact, expanding, and we want to know why. also, on top of iTunes, you can also hear our little podcast on RSS, Google Play, Apple Casts, pretty much every medium under the sun that plays podcasts. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, Teresa Sammons, and Lee Lamb, I would like to say good night. God help Puerto Rico.